Well, Adam, that was extraordinary 3D.
It doesn't translate very well to a podcast.
That was the Vive system? Vive,
yep, so it was one of the current three major consumer virtual reality systems you can get. It's not stupidly expensive. It is stupidly realistic.
How expensive are we talking about?
I think about $1,000 to about $1,500 for... I'm not sure of the price because I keep thinking of US price, which was around 1,000. So I don't know what it is in Australia.
And you need a computer with enough grunt to run it in real time.
And so that's around a $1,500 to $2,000 computer would be the bottom end of the market for it.
So it basically consists of a headset to cover your eyes, to display the
images.
Normally
some headphones, which we didn't try. But
we didn't go with the headphones. And two what you call lighthouses.
Yep, and two handheld devices. So the lighthouses each have lasers in them, effectively, and then the headset is spotting the lasers all the time from the lighthouses and calculating.
So as you move around, it changes the view to match where you are in space.
Yep, so it's tracking you in the room. So in the previous versions, like, say, the Oculus Rift, what they were doing was head tracking, so it could tell when you turned your head.
Yeah,
and so the world would match your head.
Tried before, I think. Yeah.
What the Vive tries to do is allow you to walk, so you're standing up and you move around the room, so you're not sitting down like you do with a Rift.
Yeah.
And then it tracks your location in the room, and then you've got the two handheld devices which track your location of your hand in space, which you both
and allow you to pick things up
and interact.
Tickle dogs under the
that's exactly it. So,
and teleport, which is kind of cute.
It's cool.
Yeah. So they are the same trick. They're just being tracked. They keep track of where they are in terms of the space we define at the beginning, which are two lighthouses define the two corners of.
Yeah. Look, I must admit, the experience of shooting virtual arrows was great.
You're very good at that.
I did a bit of archery, so... Yeah. I mean, it's a bit odd with the handles, but it did feel as though you were pulling back the bow, releasing the arrow.
And it had the sound as well, which was good. It had the sound of the bow being pulled back, which was very entertaining. I mean, that was without the headphones.
Yeah, with the headphones,
so
it becomes more immersive. But to be honest, with the headphones, you lose track of the entire world. So when you put them on, and you've got all your vision gone and all of your sight, all of your hearing gone and everything, then it becomes very strange because there isn't a world around you. And it suddenly jars when you hit something with your hand or someone comes up behind you in the middle of a zombie game and grabs your shot.
Yeah. Look, I'm glad you pointed out that I've hit the big target. I could bring the boiling oil down onto
that
the people.
Yeah.
So I was in the moment there. Yeah. So
it's a good device. It is.
The landscape, that was very good because the bit we were in the lab was very cartoony, but going onto the mountain.
Yeah, we got transported to Iceland and then somewhere in the US.
Vespa Peak, yeah.
Very terrifying. For someone with vertigo standing on the edge of a mountain, it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, and they play that because there's a lot of things where you stand on the top of a building and look down or whatever else. So they like that.
So presumably they go there and film it.
In the case of Vespa Peak, yes. Otherwise they'll generate in virtual reality. And even then, the trick is just to create that feeling of vertigo because you don't get the same sickness you do either from previous versions of virtual reality because of the way it tracks you, but that means it feels so much more immersive. Standing on an edge of a building looking down suddenly becomes even worse than doing it in a cinema as it does that fly over or any of those feelings.
But that was good.
It feels like you're there.
The landscape bits were interesting. Mm. We didn't try the zombies, though.
No, the zombies are quite different. But one which I actually like on that is Tilt Brush, which is a painting tool.
Yeah.
So as you drag your hands around the space, you paint.
Mm.
So you paint in 3D.
Cool.
But what's interesting is why limit to paint? So you can paint with sparklers and leave and paint with neon glowing strands and anything you like. And then you can walk around your object and see it from different angles.
Well, it's fabulous. It's fascinating, actually. Hmm.
It's a nice piece of tech.
Yeah. Didn't get sick, though. I have to say I feel kind of a bit fuzzy.
Yeah, it's a different feeling, but not in the same way that you would feel the sort of motion sickness from using the Rift.
No, it's not like that. It's just more a little wrung out is how I'm feeling.
Yep.
Yeah.
So are these particularly popular at the moment, or are they growing?
They're very popular if you can afford them and you've got the space, but there's not a lot in the way. I mean, they're a great experience, but there's not a huge range of games or anything to do with them. Within my area in research, everyone adores them. We just want these things. the uni, we just keep buying them because somebody wants one. I've got one on order because I want one too. So everyone just buys them. And we're sure that they're going to be incredibly useful.
At some point.
But we're sort of moving ahead of what we can actually... We're not really sure their place yet.
Mm.